Hey, it's me, James Stacey, and this week we have a hostful episode that digs into the nitty-gritty of a fun, fanciful, and entirely hypothetical post we ran last week that seems to have resonated with a lot of the Hodinkee audience. To dig into our hopes and dreams, at least when it comes to watches, I've got a qualified cast of beloved co-workers collected on Zoom. So let's not waste any time as we get into our dream watches for 2022. All right, Nora, Danny, Cole, welcome back to the show. I think this is going to be a fun one. You all good?
Well, we Gucci.
Doing great.
Oh, yeah.
New year.
New year, new show. Second of the year. First of what I would like to call a hostful show, if any of you used to listen to the Nerdist podcast. You know, we had a fantastic interview with Daniel Miller last week. Daniel was a champ for coming on the show. It was super fun. This week, I wanted to do something a little bit more internal, a little bit more, I'm tempted to say navel-gazy. But I want to look at a post that we made, and it's a visual post, so this is one where you're really going to have to maybe not listen to it in your car unless you've already looked at the post, but this is going up on a Monday and on the Tuesday preceding. So on January 11th, we published a story, which is kind of a visual rendering of a handful of the edit team's kind of like dream watches. So I don't even think it's like a one dream watch scenario. It's just a dream watch. Everybody picked something they thought they would love to see that doesn't exist in the world right now. And the idea was we would attempt to build these in Photoshop and then publish a group story, which we did. It's called We Asked Our Editors to Tell Us About Their Ideal Watch. Each one has like a paragraph or two kind of explaining, or if you're Cole and I, like five or six paragraphs explaining why we want this watch, what we changed versus maybe what's already on the market, etc. For me, this is one of my favorite parts of watch enthusiasm. For years, I've kind of slowly refined my mediocre Photoshop skills to be able to make watches by stealing pieces of other watches and kind of pasting them all together. Like I said, we've got Nora, who really picked something I wouldn't have thought of or even considered from a brand that we had some selections from, and it's exciting. Danny picked something that I think... You know, like Danny, you know that thing where they say, like, if you leave and please, this, I'll get to my final point before you get offended. But, you know, they say, like, if you leave monkeys in a room with a typewriter long enough, they'll write Shakespeare. I think that if you just left Rolex on autopilot long enough, they would make the watch that you came up with. Like, if you just, like, took everyone out of the leadership and they just kind of, like, let it evolve naturally from the primordial ooze of current day Switzerland. You'd eventually get this watch. And then Cole saw that I was doing the Photoshop and he's like, I'm just going to make James's day as hard as possible. and he gave me a watch with a transparent dial.
That's right.
Let's dig into it. I think actually let's start with Cole's. We did nine in total and I think all of them are pretty fun, but Cole's is at the top of the story. So let's start there. Cole, how about you give us the elevator pitch. Why does this watch need to exist and what is it?
Okay. So it is the homage to Walter Lange, which is a Lange, of course. It normally came in white gold, pink gold, yellow gold, with a standard dial. It almost looks like the 1815 with a deadbeat seconds complication and a chrono pusher. So chrono pusher and then a center-mounted seconds hand is what you're getting with the homage to Walter Lange. So one of my favorite things is the Lumen series that Lange does. So I think it's wild and out there. I like anything that's counterculture within a relatively restricted world. And I love the homage to Walter Lange. And I thought, you know, why not? And actually, I truly think this is, again, something that Lange should make. Would Lange ever make this? I don't know for sure. Only because it's already a deep cut, right? The homage to Walter Lange is already a super deep cut watch to begin with. So then doing a Lumen is like, okay, that's a little bit too much. But as we know, a negative times a negative makes a positive, right? So
that's just science.
That's just exactly. It's just math and science. So the philosophy behind this one is, all right, what does a deadbeat seconds complication look like? Well, now you have the chance to see it. A, you have some of Lange's incredible Lumen dial work, which is, you know, smoky, translucent black dial. And I kind of read it. You know, I am a tool watch guy at heart, like you, James. Like at the end of the day, I, of course, would gravitate towards that more so. But I use this as an opportunity to, you know, think in terms of high horology or an area a little bit outside my comfort zone. So that's kind of the spiel. That's the elevator. It's a long elevator pitch.
So what we have is the standard cased Walter Long. It's probably white gold.
Yeah, normally it's white gold.
In this scenario. And, you know, if you know the Walter Long, it's kind of like they took the 1815 as far as they could in terms of tech and subtlety. But we gave the subdial that full loom treatment, the whole minute track, all the numerals. And then I painted in some kind of very thin, wouldn't even be functional in real life loom on the hands. We fretted back and forth on what to do. So if you have to think about these things kind of visually and then think about them vertically. So you're stacking things on top of each other to make an image that looks flat when you kind of look down on it is the easiest way to think about these. And with a transparent dial, you have to show something behind the dial. And of course, it's not like you can just Google like what the dial side of a Walter Lange movement looks like.
Yeah.
Or even most any Lange movement. So it took me a while. And I want to say the movement plate that's in there is from a Roger Dubuis.
Interesting.
Which is apparently they do circular graining on the dial sides of their movements. Which if you look at some of the other lumens that are in the market, you'll see that finishing kind of shine through on various parts. Normally they're more complicated watches than this. So I think it worked out in the end. It's certainly a fun looking watch. I love the idea of a luminous Lange.
Yeah, I didn't even know that bit about Roger Dubuis. So that's some great handiwork by you, James. Also thinking about the circular finishing and so forth. So
thank goodness for Google.
Yeah, great job.
Cole, I'm curious because we all knew before we did this that James was going to be doing the Photoshop work for these watches. When you were typing, I looked at the spreadsheet where we all put our ideas in and I read yours. When you were typing it in, were you thinking about what James was going to have to do? Like, were you laughing a little bit or were you just, no, this is what I want. I'm like, this is what I want. And James is going to have to make it.
You know what? I don't know if I was around during the inception of this story. James will be volunteering to do the Photoshop work. So actually, I didn't know that. And I did get a message from him shortly after I put my, you know, entry in the spreadsheet. And he's like, what the hell, man? What are you? But then we decided, I mean, James, who's going to do it other than James, right? Like, he can do it. And he's also not the kind of guy to... No, pick something else. Like, he'll try. And the first attempt we did, we used the main plate, but the backside underneath the dial. And it did look kind of weird, but
yeah.
Eventually we kept iterating, or James kept iterating, and we got there. So no, I had no idea. I thought it was more like, just like, oh, what's your dream watch kind of thing. So my apologies, James.
When you finally saw it, did anything surprise you about it? How is it different from what was in your mind's eye?
It actually wasn't different at all. That's the crazy thing. This is exactly what I would do. So it's perfect.
Dang, James. Yeah.
I mean, with this one, I have to be very specific. Credit Ian Cox, our exceedingly talented designer that works for Hodinkee. He helped me do the whole dial transparency thing. And when I called him, I was like, hey, man, I got like a low level question for you. And I thought he'd be like, use this tool, set it to like this tolerance and see what happens. It was like an hour long phone call before we had, because we start with a black dial. So you want to take everything that's not black, but you want to do it with a tolerance that doesn't like end up blurry or fuzzy when you then recolor it. So that took a little bit of time, and that's beyond my Photoshop skills. That's not carefully cutting and pasting things and putting them in a certain order. That's a little bit more advanced compository. So big thanks to Ian for helping on that one. It made a big difference. I would not have been able to do this at anywhere near this level without his help. So.
All's well that ends well.
Oh, you need a team sometimes, right? So let's pick, move on to one of the others here. I think Davey had a real winner from the list.
Ooh.
Which is, it's one of those ones where like, it's a bit like Danny's where it's a little bit obvious, but it's also like, it feels like something that should exist. Like once I did, and this is easy when this is a color swap, which is simple, but Davey wanted a 36 millimeter yellow gold Octo Finissimo. And the nice thing about the Octo is I think the majority of them are 40 until they get into the more complicated space. So they're 40 millimeters. And if you've ever worn one, they fit like a cuff. You know, they do fit big for 40. Super thin, really easy to wear. It goes under any cuff or whatever. But they fit like a big bangle, big and flat, right? And I think 36 would really change that balance. And that's what Davey was thinking. And I have to agree with his thinking. And thankfully, you can find a real easy PNG on Bulgari's website and just do the color replace tool, paint the whole thing, be a little careful around the black of the dial. And I got to say, I think it works. It worked for you guys?
It looks so smooth. Yeah.
I think out of all of them, Because, you know, Bulgari worked with Revolution Magazine on that crazy Octo Chronograph.
That's a great, I love that one.
Yeah. So that shows that, like, Bulgari is willing to at least step out a little bit and maybe do something interesting. So out of all these watches, Rolex, we know, sorry, Danny, yes, they'll do it eventually, but they're not going to do it because of this article. But if Revolution...
They might never do it because of this article.
Exactly, yeah.
We already tried with the Rolex Sprite.
Unless they were already doing it and it's going to come out this year, then...
Then true, you yeah, are okay. The Nostradamus.
There so, we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the soothsayer for sure.
So what I think is like, okay, Bulgari can do these things. They have worked with media before. I think, I'm going to say now, out of all the watches on this list, this might actually happen. Just going to say.
I don't disagree at all. I don't think we'll see a...
We won't.
Walter Lange Lumen.
No, we won't.
I think you might see Wilhelm Erschmidt at an event someday and get a little punch on the arm and like, hey, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's as far as that's going to go.
I'd be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a lovely guy for sure. But I think I do agree that I could see them looking at this and going like, what, did people actually wanted a yellow gold one? Because they make a 40 in rose gold, which is like sandblasted. I made this render based on the steel because I really liked all the texture of the brushing, especially on the bezel. I thought it looked cooler than the matte, this like super matte sort of bead blasted look or sandblasted. So a good pull from that one. Davey's on our video team. And if you've seen almost anything video from Hodinkee and you liked it, it's because of only one of a few people. And one of them is almost certainly Davey. So great team and clearly great taste in watches.
He was shouted out in the Watch We More Most This Year video for wearing sweats with a tank. Oh, yeah. And that's just like...
As it should be worn.
Vibe.
Maybe one of our most stylish staff members. So it makes sense that he question. Pulled together this really dope watch.
And he just has a great taste in... Davey won't like that I'm throwing him under... under the bus here, but just within view of the bus. he won't like that. You know, he just has great taste. Like, it's easy to spend time with Davey. He has an amazing taste in music, mm-hmm. art. He has a fantastic kind of visual literacy that I really appreciate about David. And you can see it when you ask him to think of something he would like to see. You look at it and you go, well, that's something everybody wants to see. I get it. Along the same lines, let's jump to Norris, which is a really fantastic creation. This one was a bit of a struggle from a Photoshop standpoint. But I guess I don't actually know what they call that full model, which we base the tank. Do you know what the tank one is called in total? I looked on the website and there wasn't like a...
It is, I think it's just called the like cuff. Let me pull up the...
I couldn't identify a name. I called this the Cartier American full gold cuff, but they make a Panthère version. And Nora, again, I think you're right. It kind of, it's interesting to have the longer case shape because it's already a rectangular sort of presence.
Yeah.
Versus the square of the Panthère kind of fitting into the links.
Which gets lost. Yeah. They just say it's on extra large cufflinks, which, speaking of the cuff of the Octopanissimo, yeah, it is both an incredibly gaudy, but also I think with the tank a little, I like that the tank is not a particularly gaudy. It is kind of the antithesis of it, like a very quietly elegant watch. And then just strapping it on this like big honking set of cufflinks yeah. makes it incredibly luxurious. And I think just super fun in a way that I would not necessarily say Cartier always is. And one of the things that I had in my head but didn't include in the sheet because I didn't want to kill you was it would be extra cool if it had like a reverso style case so you could flip it over and it would just look like a bracelet.
Ah, ooh, okay. That would be brilliant.
Yeah, take some notes, Cartier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is just, it really sort of makes the watch feel like a bit more of an integral part of the very cool cufflinks when you sub in a tank.
Yeah, and for anyone listening that like when Norris says cufflinks, she doesn't mean like traditional cufflinks, like for the shirt of a cuff. This is it's like a big band bracelet that's made out of fine watch style links. And it even has some negative spaces, some spaces that don't have links in sort of geometric balanced patterns. And so it's all kind of like, imagine wearing a Jubilee bracelet that just went, there was no watch. It went all the way around, but then make it triple width and squeeze a watch into the links. And that's what you get. So not all the lines kind of line up on this one because the Panthère, they mold it to make it fit into the flex of the bracelet. But I did my best with it. I think it's a cool thing. I also just think like the American looks really good in yellow gold, which it doesn't currently exist in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even that on its own is a stroke of like, why aren't they making that?
Yeah,
for sure.
If they make it, I will give them all of the money I don't have. So there we go.
Hey, what are credit cards for, yeah. right?
I think this watch plays. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, I agree.
I would never have envisioned or thought this would never come into my brain. So you showed me something that I had never conceived in my entire life. So thank you, Nora.
Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
Yep, I think it's a winner. Anyone have a pick where we might go next?
I think one that folks seem to like and that I like is Logan's.
Logan's, yeah. So this is cool. It's a Tag Heuer. You know, Logan knows the brand really well. And I think that is kind of key to making one of these things is you kind of have to be able to see the whole scope of the brand and then find that thing that you feel is missing, even subjectively that's missing. And I think Logan might have picked something that isn't only just missing, but absolutely Tag needs to make. And this is so based on the current C case, which is the kind of the chunkier case used on some of the Octavia stuff, but a recreation of the Octavia GMTs from the early 70s. You know, blue red bezel. We literally just took the dial and bezel from an actual Octavia GMT from a photo from the Hodinkee shop and then dropped it on top of the kind of case and outer bezel edge from the Fragment Design chronograph they made a couple years ago, which uses the right case and has, and I think the end result, like, you know, Logan's been on the show plenty. We've all said that, like, Logan just, he gets it. And like, you can see that, like, he gets Tag. This makes perfect sense. They would sell a lot of these.
I think the C-shaped case, does the C actually stand for chunky, James, or no?
My guess is it probably stands for something specific. It's probably not chunky.
Yeah, I'm kidding. but
compact? Yeah. I have no idea. Chronograph?
Yeah, I think the watch is excellent. And again, one that could potentially be made. And I also like the treatment, the very conscious treatment to leave out Tag, like everyone always asks for, right? It's just the Heuer Octavia, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just because we took it from a dial and that's all it said because it was a vintage dial.
But I mean, you would you want to put Tag branding back on? I think no.
I think it depends on how hard they wanted to lean into it being a heritage model. In my mind, I like these sorts of conversations. So give me some balance if you think I'm on one too far to one side. But I would think they would launch this line with four or five versions, like they did with the Aquaracer, like they did with the Isograph, like all these ones. And you'd have one that's very vintage, like what they did recently with the Aquaracer, with the throwback version. And then you'd have a few examples that were the same format and movement and such, but were leaning a little bit more towards modern Tag Heuer. So I think you'd do both.
So this is Pepsi, obviously. What other bicolor configurations would be interesting? I think you'd stay away from kind of known quantities, right? Like stay away from Batman color scheme. Stay away. You know, it might be cool how you integrate Tag back is take the colors from the Tag Heuer logo and make that the bezel.
It's like green and red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Christmas time watch.
Yeah, that could work.
Something like that. Who knows?
I mean, the nice thing with the bezels is there's such a history of like pretty much every color combination has been used to some level. And you could just like pick the ones that you like. And as long as you tie it into some color on the dial, I think it mostly works.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I boosted the reds and blues on this one to make it feel a little bit less like a vintage watch, but for the most part, I think that they could turn around and make this. I don't really know immediately what movement you would use. I think a derivation of the Caliber Heuer 02 is what Logan has intended. And whether or not you do that, or I guess ETA has a version of the 7750 that has a GMT on it. Zinn uses that a lot. So there'd be some options. I think it's a killer one for sure. As always with Mr. Logan.
Let's talk about yours, James.
Mine?
Yeah.
It's time. The time has come.
So this is one I've had in my, you know, I've been talking about it and making little renderings of it for a few years. I'd like a Pelagos GMT for sure. I call it the Pelagos 2, which I think would work. This render is not perfect. There's a few things I should have put a date in it. I ran out of time. Why would you have a GMT watch without a date? So yes, you're right. If that was your comment. But otherwise, I mean, the big things for me is in my mind, this would blend some of what they established with the FXD. Keep in mind, this is a dream watch. This watch is not going to happen. But I would see it as a 39 millimeter. It's still titanium, but no HEV. So 200 meters water resistance, a little thinner than a current, a little smaller than a current. Give me the same bracelet, the same rubber strap option. Make it based on a 5612, MT5612, which is the BBGMT's movement. So you would have a date if you wanted it, which again, I think you would. 3 or 6 would be fine for the date. Please nowhere else. I chose a blue-orange coloring because I thought it kind of aligned with, you know, the Heritage Chrono from their past. I also just like blue-orange. You know, Doxa 750T Caribbean GMT is also a fan, and that's the exact same colors, basically. For me, personally, my favorite part about this whole watch is the bezel. I very carefully tried to blend a Pelagos bezel with the exact layout of a mil sub, so it's fully marked.
Mm.
But when you have double-digit numerals, the edge of the outer O, so the 0 in 30, the 0 in 40, the 0 in 50 is the first minute marker. So it lends this balance that still allows big markers. And you see that if you go back and like Google a milsub. And yeah, for me, this would be, you know, they could take my money now. As long, you promise you make it in the next 5 years, I'll pay for it today.
I'm curious, James, why not make the GMT bezel bicolor?
I don't see the purpose.
Okay.
I like the simplicity of how this still feels like a dive watch first.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't want, like with a BB GMT, you have a 24-hour bezel. And don't get me wrong, and this is something you could have arguments about if you wanted to, and I guess I do internally. But like I don't really like 24-hour bezels. I think a lot of people, if you ask the average person who has a GMT Master, they can't explain what it does for them or even why it rotates, for example.
I have a harder time explaining what it does, period, to someone else who's asking what it does, period. Not what it does for me.
Yeah.
Just what it does. Even though I know what it does, but it comes out of my mouth and the other person's like, okay.
Yeah. So for me, I like the watch I'm wearing now, which is the Braimont S302, I like a dive watch that has a GMT function, not a GMT watch that can go underwater.
I like that.
And I definitely think this watch would look cool with a two color, like if I'd gone a white on the top of the so white orange and blue orange. I had days to do the 9 renders, and I'm not so talented at Photoshop, but it's quick. These are my evenings for quite some time. And I like the simplicity in this, but I do agree that you could go bicolor for the Riot. But yeah, so you have the fully marked bezel, then you have on the Riot, which is kind of a thing in the Pelagos world. This has one that's more similar to that of the FXD, so it doesn't have the cutouts around each marker, which kind of takes some of the three-dimensionality away, but this watch is theoretically a bit thinner. That's in orange. I could also very easily see a black, red, white version to go with the blue, orange, white. I think that could work well. I even think you could do just one that's mostly black and white with a little bit of color, maybe just for the GMT hand.
You mentioned that you would take some text off the dial. And this is, you know, whenever folks talk about Tudor, this is what they always talk about. The sequel to the Iliad and the Odyssey on the dial there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the joke when the Pelagos went in-house and had 5 lines of text was that it was like, what, a word or 2 syllables away from a haiku or something like that?
A haiku, yeah, exactly. What would you take off?
In my mind, all this needs to say is Pelagos 2 and the depth.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it needs anything else. Like, the officially certified, that's a historical thing they put on the dial. I don't need that. And I don't need it to say that it's a chronometer. I'm buying a Tudor. I know what I'm getting. But I do understand, like, Tudor makes watches for people that aren't necessarily deep watch enthusiasts, and words on the dial are important. It's like, you know, badges on your car, that sort of thing.
Fuel injected.
I like cars with fewer. Other people like to, you know, remove E300 badges and put, E63 badges on them. So
AMG badges.
Yeah. As many AMGs and M-Powers as you can find. But yeah, this is literally just a watch I've always wanted to have and own and buy and create. And yeah, I like it. I don't think it'll ever happen. You know, I don't think that we'll necessarily see this because the movement wouldn't fit at 39 millimeters, but it would fit at 41. BBGMT and the Pelagos have similar case sizes. So hey, a fella can dream. Right?
Yeah.
But this is a watch I would definitely buy, and then I would have to sell a bunch of other ones because I'd have no need for them. I would just wear this.
Mm. So this would, yeah, reduce redundancy in the collection. I like that. I like the kind of pragmatic role that this fills too.
That's what I'm known for.
If people started calling it the Stacey, would that be thrilling to you or deeply embarrassing?
It'd be deeply embarrassing or just unsettling. That doesn't need to happen.
The Stacey.
I'd just be happy to have one on my wrist. I don't need anything more than that. I don't need a deal on it.
Okay.
It's already been spoken. You just spoke it into existence. It's over. You can't take it back. It's now out there.
We'll edit out the like little bit of dry heaving I had at the thought.
So here's a question. You can't take your own watch. That's out of the question. For everyone on this call, whose watch do you take? Just a kind of quick fun game, you know?
Mine's easy and it's boring. I'm taking Davies, and I'm also going to caveat it by saying that when Kasia, my wife, saw my pick and Davies' pick, she just kind of like rolled her eyes and said, "Fancy dudes," and then walked out of the room. Because
all right.
Because we both just like turned a watch solid gold, you know, and turned it into James and was like, "Here, make this watch be like gold."
Yeah, I don't know. That's a Nora, what do you think? Which one of these, aside from yours, would you want to rock out with?
Ooh. If I'm getting mine and I want variety in my collection, I might actually pick John Buse's Grand Seiko Mechanical Dress Chronograph. It's kind of one of the few chronographs I've seen that I'm really into. But if I don't have mine and got room for another fancy watch, I'm taking Davies.
I would probably, yeah. So here's the thing. This is weird. Like, I'm not drawn to some of the tool watches. I actually am the opposite from you. I like a GMT watch as a GMT watch. I would also go John Buse because, and I don't know if he even mentioned this or if this is even part of the thought process behind it, but it channels the spirit of the 5718, which is that Olympic counter that I wrote about a while back.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
So I think that's probably the way. Or Danny's. I think, like, I've always liked the Explorer. I think
they call that a segue, I think, in the podcast business.
Yeah. So Danny's is, I made it the hero. I think it's just one that you look at and you go, like, dang, like, why not? Like, they're doing a two-tone. Why not a solid gold Explorer? So, Danny, this would be the current 36 mil size, or you would make a change?
The only change that I would make that I didn't mention and that I didn't know until I saw the new two-tone and the new 36 is that the bracelet's super thin. It tapers dramatically, way more than any Explorer ever has in the past, in a way that just feels like, if you've ever seen a vintage Daytona, it kind of feels like that. It's not quite that much, but close. So I would just return the bracelet taper to its normal state. Other than that.
So maybe it's like a 2 or 3 millimeter taper versus, like, I think it's almost 5.
Yeah, which is crazy. So yeah. So make it 2 or 3 millimeters and then you've got me. Same modern 36 millimeter case. Everything stays the same. Just solid goldify it.
And still keep polished center links, eh?
Yeah, I think that. Okay, so.
Well, I mean, you got to blame that a little bit on me. I'm not going to brush them in Photoshop. Come on.
Here's the thing. I want to say that the original call to action for this was not, what dream watch do you have? It's, what do you want to see the watch industry do in 2022? So this isn't like, I have other dream watches. This is what I was trying to think. What might Rolex do this year? And they're not going to brush their center link. So maybe if it was a dream watch in a dream world, like, sure. Like, I would love a fully brushed gold bracelet, to the same way that I want a fully brushed steel bracelet on my GMT Master in steel that I have. Like, it's just, I don't love. But I will say that the polished center links look much better in gold than they do in steel. Like, period. Way, like, in period, like, much better.
Here's a question for you. And I didn't, this is something I would have done and just sent to you if I'd had, more time to devote to this exercise. What about a solid gold Jubilee bracelet on that?
That would
baby?
Look so good. That would look so good.
It was sacrilege, I think. People get upset when I put a $40 Jubilee on my Explorer too.
It would be, that's the thing, right? It's balancing what you think is realistic versus what would never happen, and that would never happen. It never would. But it would look great. It would look fantastic.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is great, Danny. I think this one rocks. I love that, again, you gave me, like, very little to do. I took the two-tone version. I created a color replacement profile and I just carefully painted it. And that's why we were able to do a hero that was also a wrist shot.
You turned it around in like 10 minutes after this idea, like, it was created.
Yeah, I'm like a low-key pro at just making gold versions of steel watches in Photoshop for out of boredom. There's no talent involved. I've put a lot of practice into it. I think mine, of the ones that I would want to go with if I couldn't have the Pelagos 2, it would probably be either Danny's or Jack's, which can lead us to Jack's. This is actually a name of a watch I've never heard spoken out loud. So my distinct apology to Cartier. Jack asked for a steel Tank au Guichet, which is maybe the easiest of all of these because they already make it in platinum. So I made it look a little darker and I removed some scratches from the photo I was able to find. And that was that. I turned the strap gray to make it an extra steely sort of affair. And then Jack wanted the cabochon in the crown out of tantalum. So I gave it a slight bluey, steely sort of tint versus the normal, which is like a blued sapphire or something.
Up in Toronto, it's a bilingual teaching system, right? Don't you learn French as well in school?
Yeah, I to be fair, I know my vocabulary in French isn't terrible. I've never come across the word guichet. And I could even be saying that wrong. And again, like, my distinct apologies. For those of you that may not know this watch, this is a kind of a classic Tank shape, but what we have is a twin digital display. So you have a small aperture towards the top center of the front brushed face. That's an hour display. and then a semi-radial display with a like a actual metal cutout. It's really cool the way they do this. And there's a rotating kind of dial behind that that tells you the minutes. I've seen the platinum version in person a couple times, and it is a jaw-droppingly cool watch. This is a deeply, deeply cool thing. Jack, like Logan, like Dave, great taste, knows watches. And once I pushed him, I was like, Jack, you got one for me? He's like, I do, actually, and it's not going to be much work. and he's like, turn this platinum watch into a steel watch for me. I was like, okay, I'm on it. I don't think it's a watch that they make a lot of. So if Cartier decided to make this watch, it would be a very hard watch to buy. It'd be very expensive and very difficult to buy. But man, is it kind of a cool idea because it is kind of the most tank of the tanks. You drive a real tank by looking out a tiny little window and you know, don't care if you hit a tree or whatever because it's a tank. And with this, I think it kind of encaptures that in some fun ways.
It's just very slick.
Yeah, I mean, I would wear that watch.
Put it on a NATO?
Put it on a NATO.
Might look sick, you don't know.
Take it diving?
Yeah. I would love a version of this watch that was actually just a day and a date. Like, I don't need the time. Just tell me that it's Wednesday the 27th.
That's an incredible idea for a watch, period. Just like, I don't care what time it is. Just yeah. I need to know what day it is. Just the year.
I'm just lost.
Just a watch of pure leisure. I need only to know the calendar date.
For all those checks I'm writing.
It's fabulous. I love that idea for sure. Let's see what else we've got here. So yeah, we spoke briefly about John's, which is a really fun. And I think John really can see that there is a bit of a hole in the Grand Seiko lineup for a mechanical dressy chronograph. They do chronographs, very sporty spring drive based chronographs. But John, very simple brief, take a popular Grand Seiko and turn it into sort of an equally dressy chronograph. And if you look carefully at this one, those of you who like to do these sorts of things, these little Photoshop puzzles, you'll learn there's certain brands that, and my guess is it might be a purposeful thing for counterfeit, but they will always put their second hand through something on the dial. Like Rolex and Tudor will always have their second hand going through the text at the bottom of the dial. Always, 100% of the time. Drives me bonkers. It's a step further when you go to Basel and they hand you a dummy or a sample of the watch and it's locked with the hand going through the text at the exact same second point. So I love the specificity. I adore it even. I just hate the outcome from my side of the fence. And so the Grand Seiko is the same thing where if you try and find any Grand Seiko, the second hand is almost always going through whatever the complication is. So on the spring drives, in the press images, the second hand goes right through the power reserve indicator. So I had to really search around and I eventually found a Presage enamel dial chronograph that they made. And I stole the one dial that didn't have a hand going through its subdial and then turned it into a transparency and dropped it onto a white birch. And I think it kind of works. John's only note was, could we put the complication not at 6? Because right now it kind of looks like running seconds. But we could put it at 9, but then again, the second hand, I don't have a choice of where to move it, so we left it at 6.
And how does it work, by the way? I mean, that's kind of a dumb question, but actually, how does it work?
It's just a chronograph. Start, stop, central seconds, and then minutes at the bottom.
So it's an hour counter. It counts up to an hour.
Yeah. A 1 hour chronograph, which isn't uncommon in the dressier chronographs.
Yeah. All right. I see it now. I can dig it.
I guess it depends on people's concept of dressy. I thought dressy maintained some minimalism. You could go with a 2 or 3 dial chronograph, but I think it would start to feel significantly less dressy the more you added to it. I think this kind of works, but I do understand that obviously normally when you have a chronograph, you have running seconds. This would forego that. In this case, for in a minimalist attempt. I think it's kind of still aligns with Grand Seiko, but admittedly, I'm writing between their lines on that one.
I think him a great.
Yeah, John gets Grand Seiko, and I think this one works for sure. We also had a really cool Nomos from Trevor, who helps run our social media stuff and does a great job at it. And but I didn't know he was a Nomos guy. I'm just kind of getting to know him now. And yeah, he wrote a very straightforward block of text, Minimatic with a black dial, mostly white accents, and then some navy blue accents. And we went ahead and made it. And the whole time I was thinking, like, is this going to look even like this is going to look like every Nomos? All the Nomos look the same. And to his credit, when it was done, I like it. It looks cool. It's like, it's kind of modern. It's kind of youthful, kind of subtle. I think it's killer. Yeah. Nice work on that for sure. Nomos is one where I think you could almost do this 100 times. Like, the brand has such a dialed aesthetic, but so much variety within that space that I feel like, you know, anytime you go to buy a Nomos, you go like, well, the perfect would have been, and it's one thing to add or change or remove. So it, for a Photoshop competition, it's perfect.
So who won? Who won the competition?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I won probably, right? Yeah. Okay. So we're done.
That's a tough call. I mean, judging by what people said, I mean, it might be Davey.
I think it might be you, actually. I think it's James.
Me?
Yeah.
Nobody picked mine as their double.
I think if you guys were in a club, like, James would win. Like, it appeals very much to what you both would, like, love to see.
Oh, it's a deeply subjectively something I would buy. Yeah.
It totally. And they all are, right? Like, so many of these are, like, in so many ways. And in fact, like, mine isn't even something that I think speaks to me, because I think I didn't understand this competition at all. Like, if I was like, so it's not necessarily like my dream watch, but I just kind of think,
heck of
like,
a way to,
Rolex.
To take your win. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I'm just glad to be here. And turns out I'm awesome.
I blacked out. What happened?
Every editor's pick story is a competition going forward in Danny's mind.
Oh, yeah. That's how I see it.
I'm here to win, consciously or unconsciously.
By force of pure effort or luck. Yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, in my mind, I like the Pelagos the best. I think it's the one that kind of suits what I would want. But I look at these and there's like a handful of them I would love to wear. I think Cole's would be so much fun as this insane piece of like super subtle high-end watchmaking that also glows in the dark. That's perfect. That satisfies the five-year-old inside of me and like the modern watch writer and
exactly.
The rest of it. And Danny's is... Danny, yours is one that like I could absolutely see existing and on people's wrists and like courtside at basketball games. I feel like in 2 years, you're going to be writing watch spottings about this watch and you're just going to be like, this sucks. I'm so tired about writing about this watch that I willed into existence at some level. And then Nora's, I love yours. I don't think I could pull it off. Let's be honest. I'm sitting here in kind of a military sweater, a few months behind a haircut.
Could it work as an ankle watch? You know, like the bracelet is so big, you could like, you know, look down and see what time it is. You know, I don't know, like, size wise, how big is that bracelet? Nora, you tell me, it's yours. Could I size it for an ankle?
In the fantasy world, yes.
Okay.
Wear it over a sweatpant for maximum.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. But yeah, I think that's probably the rundown of these designs. Get in the comments. I mean, the post has been up for a couple hours at this point, and we've got the better part of 100 comments. We're asking people to give us a one or two sentence explanation of what your sort of dream watch, a watch you would love to see. Put it in the comments. We're going to pick five or so that we like, and I'm going to go back to the drawing board and see if we can make them happen for a future post. So that should be kind of fun. If you're hearing this, it's not too late. So get in there, give us your design. We'll chat about them in our Slack channel and pick the ones we like, and then we'll try and put it together, which I think should be pretty cool. This is something I would love to do more often. I don't think it needs to be like a editor's roundup. I don't think like everyone has to weigh in on each one, but every now and then you just have an idea and we could kind of put it out there with a little bit of text and who knows, maybe some of these come into existence and that sort of thing. If so, we got to figure out some sort of a discount program with Cartier. If they make that Tanko Guichet, we need a discount of some sort.
Let's get litigious. Let's just start suing.
It's my IP based on somebody else's IP.
Yeah, let's not get litigious. Yeah. Because we're exposed as it is. I mean,
yeah, I think right now this would be a gray area where if we weren't providing commentary on what we did, it might be problematic. But yeah, I think this kind of covers our bases in terms of that. Did you guys have any other ideas waiting in the wings, other things you would love to see, that sort of thing?
I mean, I'm going to throw one out there.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think it's high time. I'm going to go Rolex again. I think that what watch brands do is they give you a little bit of what you love in something that you don't love, and then vice versa. So they give you something you love with something that's just missing. And I think if they translate the bezel of the Yachtmaster onto the Submariner, it would be a very, very winning combination. Now, you have to tweak it, because I'm not a huge fan of how it's like totally blacked out, but I love the sort of matte ceramic, whatever they're doing on the Yachtmaster.
The relief style bezel?
Yeah, and I think it would give the watch a return to the tool kind of utilitarian styling that it's missing with the shiny ceramic bezel that it has. I think shiny ceramic. Yeah. Shiny ceramic's a tough sell for people who miss the tool watch. And that's why the Black Bay 58 is so loved. And that's why the matte ceramic of the Pelagos is something that people really gravitate towards. And I think if Rolex took a little bit of whatever they're doing on the Yachtmaster, it would look amazing on a Submariner. It would look amazing on a GMT Master. It would just be great. A great way to do those bezel inserts.
Well, we can definitely make that one happen for sure.
Let's.
How many of these do we put up before Rolex just writes us and says, hey, could you guys not?
Before we get these secret letters.
These are cute, but shut up.
I think it's already happening. We just don't know about it yet.
Yeah, we're not the ones they send the email to for sure.
Apologies to Nick Marino in advance for all the emails he's bound to get.
How about you, Nora? Any others when I told you I needed a couple more and you came up with this incredible American cuff? Anything else?
This is one that you couldn't do for me. I need just a watch, any watch, that is the exact purple. The dial is the exact purple that's in my mind's eye. Because I feel like there are a handful of purple dials out there and I don't like any of them. And purple is a great color, but you can turn into like kooky aunt real fast. And so that is what I am. My personal quest is finding a purple dialed watch that suits my tastes.
You got to work your way through a color swath and find that right purple and then work backwards from there. How about you, Cole? Any others?
You know, I just did that piece on that like big Grand Seiko diver, that huge, huge one. They do have some smaller divers out now, but I want like a properly sized, like an SKX 007 wearing Grand Seiko diver. So a high beat diver, really wearable size and kind of like
a sub competitor.
Yeah, exactly. A sub competitor. Yeah. And I would definitely wear that over a sub, 100%.
Yeah.
So
like the closest they've come, and it wasn't a Grand Seiko, of course, it's the SLA, like 017 and the 03, whatever's like the kind of recreations of the 62 mass that have an 8 series movement, which are really rad. But I agree that there's not unlike with John's chronograph pick, I would say that if you look at the layout of the Grand Seiko stuff, it really feels like they need a like mass market high-end dive watch that isn't 46 millimeters.
Yeah. And you kind of have that right now with the SBG 8H289.
Oh boy.
Which is that gorgeous purple. It might even be the purple that Nora's thinking of. Just go check out that watch, Nora. It's good. And yeah, I would love to see that just a little bit smaller. I agree. Like they need a sub killer for sure. But really, to do it smartly, don't start from scratch. Like use what Seiko has built. And they have to a degree, but I'm just going to save it for the next roundup. I'm not going to talk about it too much. And
sure,
the next time we do this again, I'll you know, it won't be too bad on Photoshop. Don't worry. I got you this time.
No, you're good. I'm getting better each time.
Love the attitude.
Yeah. No, they're fun little challenges. I do really enjoy that type of work. And I would love to see, and I haven't quite decided what, but maybe this will be in one of the future ones as well. I would love to see what a modern take on like the IWC GST line.
Mm.
You know, it hasn't been gone, you know, maybe 10 or 12 years, 13 years, something like that. So it wouldn't be that much to recreate. But, you know, the 3586, which is the black yellow with the captive bezel, that dive watch, that one, but in a different size and maybe tweaked in a few different ways and different colors. You know, there's a handful of like really great IWC stuff that I think could be kind of tweaked, and you could literally like launch it tomorrow and people would go nuts.
This did kind of present me with an interesting philosophical exercise, which is everything we know that exists. Like, okay, design your favorite brand X, right? Everything you're pulling from is something they've generally done before. So all of, you know, the landscape of what we can draw from is a known quantity. I think the more interesting challenge next time might be, all right, you are actually a designer for X, Y, and Z, and you have to, design something brand new. Like, you know, you've seen brands that pivot to a completely new design direction. The reason I think about this is because I love the yellow and black Aqua Timers from early 2000s. Recent, and that hasn't come back or anything like that, but how do you even begin to conceptualize a new Aqua Timer that is sort of true to IWC, to, you know, the direction they're going and so forth? So actually, this kind of makes me think, watch designers have it pretty hard.
It's super hard.
To come up with something genuinely new to add to the conversation.
Yeah, and think about that. Take the talent of the designer and a great idea, whether that comes from someone who knows a lot about the brand's watches or the designer or a team of designers, And then consider that, like, sometimes those designers work in small brands where you can make something happen. Other times they work for giant companies. Like, if you're part of IWC, you got a lot of bosses and they've got bosses. And the people at the top, they're not interested in necessarily moving quickly. This is typically a pretty stoic sort of environment in which to sell a product. And they move slowly. And so, yeah, I think it could take a really long time. I think it's super hard. And I would say, if you want to start designing things from ground up, we're going to have to hire somebody else to do the rendering. Because I'm definitely not doing any 3D stuff or like genuine, you know, creation of assets and that sort of thing. But I don't disagree. It'd be super fun to see what we could think up that's brand new. But man, there are some good ideas in the comments already. So there's some real winners that I think will turn around to be really fun. All right. Well, I think that's a look at our dream watches for 2022. And we've had a fun chat and certainly I had a real blast making them and I'm getting a real kick out of the comments. There's some fantastic ideas in there. Before we leave, there is one more thing that's kind of changed from an editorial standpoint for Hodinkee. And that's with how we're treating the weekends moving forward. And I think it's pretty exciting. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to have Danny on, not just Solid Gold Explorer stuff. But I wanted to have Danny on because Danny kind of helped with the first one. And I know I'm going to have to get up to speed because I think mine's in the next couple weeks. So we're each kind of championing a weekend. And it's kind of a new take on the format, right, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen in the past on Hodinkee, Saturdays and Sundays, we used to have something called the Weekend Roundup, where we would each sort of choose stories normally not related to the watch world and feature, you know, some great journalism, great video, great content that we found on the internet that week or just ever. But what we're doing now is we're trying to really eventize Hodinkee editorial on the weekend. Think about the Sunday paper. And we're calling it the Hodinkee Weekend Edition. And it's, like James said, it's going to be curated, themed Hodinkee content every weekend, packaged up for your reading and viewing pleasure. So each of us pick a theme. Last weekend, I picked the Omega Speedmaster to kind of kick things off. And we're going to be picking about 5 classic Hodinkee stories that range from video series like Reference Points or Weeks on the Wrist or Talking Watches or in-depth editorial pieces that could be, for example, 3,000 words by Cole Pennington on whether Hesleit or Sapphire is the Speedmaster configuration that you should be getting and what's the difference between them and why, and sort of these things that are helpful to know about these watches that we love. But it won't just be themes about specific watch models. It could be themes about, you know, different areas of watch interest, aviation, military, movies, you know, to use something that I'm into. So every weekend you'll see a different editor take the Weekend Edition in a new direction. And it'll stay up live over the whole weekend so you can return to it, enjoy it, and get something new out of it. And I think it'll be fun to see every editor's spin on, you know, writing a few paragraphs on why they love that specific weekend content. I think it's going to be really fun. And I think last weekend was great. We tried to incorporate social media into it. We've created the hashtag Hodinkee Weekend. So every single weekend, there'll be a different theme if you've got a watch that matches it. You know, our social media team's going to share your content and put it out there. And so, you know, hit us up on Instagram and Twitter, and it'll be a lot of fun. A good way to engage with the readers and kind of spice up the weekend at Hodinkee. It's
extra spicy.
Spice it up.
It's a classic flavor and extra spicy. We're moving into extra spicy territory.
Classic flavor.
All right, guys. This has been a treat as always. It's so nice to see your beautiful faces and to chit-chat with you guys about watches. It's always a highlight of my week, and I'm looking forward to another year of doing this sort of stuff with y'all. If you're listening and enjoying the show, I always ask for the same thing. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. If you have any criticisms, support, whatever, ideas, drop it in the comments on hodinkee.com or just share it to a friend. If you enjoyed the episode and you think a buddy might like it as well, send it their way. I can't ask for anything more. And you know what? We'll chat to you in about a week's time. Nora, Danny, Cole, thanks so much.
Thanks, James.
For having us.
Pleasure's mine.